Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein. This is Perek Yud Aleph of Sefer Melachim, a long and filled Perek, because it is in this Perek that we see the end of Shlomo HaMelech's life, and we get the intimations of some level of failure, at least the very end of his reign. So again, you can read this either maximally or minimally. You can see this as evidence of a larger problem with Shlomo HaMelech's kingdom, the roots of which were already earlier on. We saw some of that yesterday when we mentioned that the Gemara seems to think that Shlomo HaMelech already lost some of his wealth. Some of his abundant wealth was lessened when he married Bat Paro. The Radak, as I've said several times, thinks Bat Paro was not the problem. We'll see why in the early psukim of this perek. But that suggests that already early on there were problems in the kingdom. They were going to have to be resolved, and that were issues for Shlomo HaMelech. On the other hand, you have the idea that it's only at the end of his life that we see any forms of punishment being administered to Shlomo. That would suggest, therefore, that there was much good, and much of it was solid and strong and well handled. Towards the end of his life, there were the problems that the Psukim point out. So Pasuk Aleph says, "V'Hamelech Shlomo, Aham Nashim Nachriyot." Rabot ve'ed bat paro, Moaviot, Ammoniot, Adomiot, Tzidniot, Chitiot. Minagoyim, right? So all of these nations, Moavim, Moav women, Ammon women, Ad-Edom women, Tzidin women, Tzidoni women, Chiti women, Minagoyim, Hashem, Hashem, Vene, Yisrael, Tavo, Vahem, Vahem, Levo, Vahem, from the nations that God said, do not marry among them. The Radak points out that, of course, or not of course, but that it is our halakhic conclusion that if they were to convert fully, appropriately, properly, and wholeheartedly, there would not be a problem. But here we see clearly, as we're going to see, that that wasn't true. Why? Because the pasuk says, "Achen yatu elavachem," because the problem is they will turn your heart away, "Acharei Eloheihem," after their gods. So as soon as there's a talk of the possibility of turning away after their gods, we know and understand that these are not people who have converted wholeheartedly. Because if you convert wholeheartedly, it's impossible for you to have other gods, because you have come to join the Jewish people and to say that the Jewish people's God is your God. So that's something that's very clear here. Bahem devak Shlomo le'ahava, and yet Shlomo HaMelech came to love these women. And his heart came to connect to these women, came to cling or cleave to these women. So we don't have time to think about this so much, but you have to wonder about the man described as the wisest man of all time, getting caught up in something as, now, I don't want to say this in the wrong way, but as relatively minimal as love of many, 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 many women. It's one thing to suggest that Shlomo HaMelech, so if, for example, it had been, and this is exactly what the Radak at least chooses to combat, had it been that he fell in love with Bat Paro, and he married Bat Paro, and Bat Paro turned him astray and turned his heart away from the proper worship of God, so it would be a terrible thing. But it would be understandable. The idea that a man falls in love with a woman and that can lead him to actions that he might not otherwise have ever contemplated, that's not a hard idea. But here, it's many, many women. It's almost as if Shlomo HaMelech meets a woman, she has something attractive about her, as almost every woman does, and he marries her. So it's just an odd thing to watch, especially if you read Kohelet and you read the various other Sfarim that Shlomo HaMelech produced. So the awareness of the danger of getting caught up in this seems clear, and yet Shlomo HaMelech falls for it. So in Pasuk Gimel Vayihi Lo Nashim Sarot Sheva Meot Ufilak Shem Shlosh Meot, he has 700 wives, 700 chief wives, and 300 concubines. A number that's astounding. Again, forget excess. What kind of relationship could he have had with these women? And he had, the pasuk describes him as Ahav Nashim Nachriyot. There's not even hours in the day to spend significant amounts of time with these women. So what the nature of this love was, the nature of the relationship was, is questionable. And Vayatu Nashav et Libo. And yet, even if there were 1,000, see, I would think one or two or three have a stronger hold on his heart, they could actually have some impact on it. But 1,000 women, and again, we got to remember, he's running a kingdom. He's writing books. He's building buildings. So 1,000 women, if he spends a full day with each one at a time. If it's an hour, it's 1,000 hours to get around to the next one. It just seems like an odd, odd thing. And yet the Pasuk bears testimony that they, not only did he have the women, not only did he enjoy having these women and being involved with them, and did they have an impact on his life, they turned his heart. The way the Pasuk reads most simply is that they turned his heart towards other gods. Chazal and every Jewish commentator have rejected this. His heart was no longer full with God. Perhaps that's the reason. Because if it was really Shlomo HaMelech who was being himself turned away from the worship of God, you wouldn't say his heart wasn't Shalem. You would say he no longer was with God. Here it just says his heart wasn't Shalem, Kilvav David Aviv, like the heart of David his father. He follows Ashtoret, the god of the Tzidonim, and after Milcom, the abomination of Ammon, and he does what's wrong in God's eyes, and he does not follow the path of David his forefather. I have met many people who assume that when Chazal deny that Shlomo Melech actually worshipped idols, they see this as apologetics. I think that you read the Psukim and you see reasons not to think that it's apologetics. You see reasons to think that that's the best reading, actually, that there is of the Psukim. For one thing, as I said, it doesn't say that Shlomo abandoned God. It's that Shlomo's heart was not as much with God as it had been, and as his forefather David's heart was with God. That doesn't seem to categorize somebody worshipping idols. Also, it's true that none of his descendants for many, many generations, his descendants do not worship idols. They let the Bamot be around, and they do things that are wrong or things that are problematic, but they don't worship idols until much later. So the idea that Shlomo Melech would actually worship idols seems odd, just because it doesn't seem to fit what's happening in the kingdom and what happens after him. Whether or not that convinces you, Chazal assumed that what's being spoken about here is that Shlomo HaMelech allowed these wives, towards the end of his life, to worship their idols, and he didn't stop them. And Chazal say that because he didn't stop them, he is blamed as if he himself had worshipped them. Again, leaving aside the question of historical fact, because either you believe in Chazal or you don't, I do, but either you believe in Chazal or you don't, and so if you don't, that's your problem and your issue, and that's not my for me to deal with right now. But listen to the message that Chazal are sending independent of that question. Chazal are saying that if there is a wrong in the world, that you have the ability to remonstrate with the people and to stop them from doing it, and you don't, you incur liability such that whatever God does to you for it, however God punishes you for it, the psukim in Tanakh would be willing to portray you as if you yourself had done that crime. And that's what's going on here for Shlomo HaMelech. That his allowing them, and that might be the only level of love that we're talking about here. He loved them enough that when they came into his presence, they said, oh, please let us do our old worship. By the end of his life, he was no longer willing to fight that battle with them. And this would be the mark of why he wasn't like David Aviv. Because David Aviv, throughout his life, knew that battling for Hashem and standing in the name of Hashem was central to his identity as a person. So if it was continually central to Shlomo's identity as a person, we would have imagined or expected that he would have stood in the way. And that's not what happened. So because of this, it says like he's building the Bama. Again, Chazal assume that he's allowing them to build it. Bahar Shel Pnei Yerushalayim, in the mountain facing Yerushalayim, ulamolech shikut pnei Amon, and also for Molech, v'chein esat chol Hashem anachriyot, maktivot u'mizabchot l'lamein. Here it explicitly says they are the ones offering incense and sacrificing to their various gods. Astounding in its own, even if, meaning it's not like Chazal whitewash him so much. In Chazal's portrayal of Shlomo HaMelech at the end of his life, he has lost his understanding of what it means to be a Jewish king. He is allowing his foreign wives, who he wasn't supposed to marry. The Radak pointed out that the Pasuk opens up and says, "Aham noshim nachriot rabot," which is doubly problematic. First, they are nachriot, and second, rabot, meaning the king is not allowed to have a lot of wives, even Jewish wives. And here he is, not only Jewish wives, but not only many, but not Jewish. So that's two problems. And now he's allowing them, by the end of his life, to run around doing whatever they want. And that is a problem, just to get the point one last time, that's a problem because you're not allowed to think that it's okay to worship other idols. It's not an option, it's not a choice, it's not a possibility. It's supposed to be absolutely impossible for you to imagine allowing such a thing to happen. So the fact that Shlomo, at the end of his life, is able to allow such a thing to happen is clear evidence that his heart was not fully with Hashem as it had once been, as it needed to be in order to be king over the Jewish people.
And God becomes angry or disgusted with Shlomo because his heart is turned away from the God who appeared to him twice.
It's not even like Shlomo HaMelech is being asked to rely on others' testimony as to the existence of God. Shlomo has experienced God twice, has been told repeatedly that the kingdom stands and falls on whether or not he, Shlomo, sticks with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and yet he doesn't manage to. So, Pasuk Yud, Vitziva Allah Elav, Allah Devar Hazel, Vilti Lech Lach Elohim Lachrim, they specifically commanded Shlomo Melech not to do this, to worship other gods, and Voshemar Tashir Tziva Hashem, and Shlomo Melech did not hold fast to what God had commanded him to do. Pasuk Yal, Alfa Yomer Hashem Shlomo, and this is not assumed to be by virtue of a prophecy. This is by virtue of somebody else being a prophet coming to tell him the prophecy. Yan, because you haven't done this, that I commanded you, not keeping to my covenant. I'm going to take your kingdom away from you and give it to your servant. But not in your lifetime. Why not? In other words, Shlomo HaMelech is supposed to get immediate justice. This is something to watch as Shlomo HaMelech goes on, because as the kings get worse and worse, the justice gets less and less immediate. You might think they're around. You might think the worse you are, the faster you get justice. But this sort of fits in with the view of Chazal that suggests that immediate justice, and justice in this world, is to some extent a reward rather than a punishment. It is to some extent an expression of God's love for us, because it is the immediacy that helps us get back on the right track. And Shlomo should have gotten that, but Laman David, and for the sake of David, not to have the embarrassment of losing the kingdom, that first generation right after David HaMelech dies, Hashem says, I'm not going to do it to you in your lifetime, miyad bin cha'ekra'enna, but from your son's hands I'll tear it away. But I won't do the whole thing. I'll give one tribe to your son, Laman David Avdi, Laman Yerushalayim Shebacharti, for the sake of my servant David, and for Yerushalayim, which I chose, which I have selected. Relating back to the whole issue of Yerushalayim having Shekhinah Inah B'Tehillah that we've mentioned, of the presence never leaving Yerushalayim that we've mentioned, Chazal pointed out the Binyamin is included in this one tribe, but just say that by virtue of them being small and relatively, not Chazal, Radak, so because they were they were geographically within the area of Yehuda, they're all thought of as one tribe. So, Pasuk Yudalad, Vayakam Hashem Satan Shlomo. So here, towards the end of Shlomo's life, when all this happens, Shlomo starts having problems with enemies round about. Eight Hadad Ha'adomim, Yizera Melech, Hu Be'adom. Hadad the Edomite becomes a problem for Shlomo at the end of his life. Vayibio David Edom. So Hadad is an Edomite. And so now the Tanakh will give us some background on who this Hadad is and the grudge that he bore against the Jewish people. Because in Pasuk Dev Vayibiyot David at Edom, Balot Yoav Sar Hatzava Lekabir Et HaChalalim Vayach Kol Zachar BeEdom. So David HaMelech had a war against Edom at some point, and he leaves Yoav behind to finish off the job of killing off the people of Edom. Edom, after all, is Amalek, and therefore he had a divine command that he had to do this. So he leaves Yoav behind, but the Pasuk notes, and Chazal applaud, that David, while he was doing this, also made sure to bury all of those who he had killed. And Chazal see this as being something that the nations round about noticed, that when David is busy killing his enemies, he nonetheless takes the time to
takes the time to bury their dead, and that this was something that the nations around noticed and praised him for. They took 6 months. They lived there, chasing men, finding the men, and killing them. Some of them escaped. Adad escaped with his men, other Edomim, of the servants of his father, and they went to Egypt. And Adad was a small boy. So they escape and they leave Midian and they come to Paran and they take people with Paran. So they have a band. And they come to Paro in Egypt. He gives them a house and he gives them a ration of bread, meaning he commands the royal treasury to support him, and he gives them some land. So they make a sort of pact. So he likes Adad a lot. He gives her a wife. He gives him a wife. The wife he gives him is the sister of his own wife. So now you have to just imagine the marriages that are going on here. Shlomo HaMelech is married to Bat Paro. Presumably this is the same Paro. So his daughter is given to Shlomo. And now he gives his sister-in-law to Adad. She bears him a son, Ginuvat. And she weans him, meaning she raises him in Paro's house. And he was raised in the house like one of the princes. Someone tells Moshe Rabbeinu, like one of the princes. So now in Pasuk of Aleph, Hadad is living in Egypt. He's married. He's doing well. His son is being raised like a prince of the realm. He is married to the king's sister-in-law. And he hears Kishachav David Mavutav. He hears that David had died. And that Yoav died. So that's early on in the kingdom, because Shlomo Melech kills Yoav early on. But notice, as Chazal did, that David, it says Shachav Mavutav, lay with his forefathers, and it says Kimet Yoav. So Rashi offers two different interesting possibilities as to why the difference. One is that David wasn't killed and Yoav was, so that David died and Yoav was killed, and this is the way to explain. The other possibility Rashi offers is that David left behind a son who filled his place, and Yoav did not. So that comes back to a theme that I stressed in the early prakim of this Sefer, that the idea of sons replacing you is an important part of the cycle of life, of having children who continue on your legacy after you die. It suggests that the nature of death is different for a person who has done that than for a person who has not done that. A person who is man who has succeeded in having children to continue his legacy is Shachav Mavotav. A person who is not is mate. He just dies and he's finished. In any case, Hadad hears this. So Hadad says, let me go home to Paro. Paro doesn't want him to. He says, Ki mata chaseri mi'imi? What's wrong with me? Vokesh lechel al artzecha? So that insists on going home. So that's one problem who will be for Shlomo HaMelech, is this Hadad, who is now coming back to try to find revenge for the deaths of his people, by and large. This is a backlash against the destruction of Amalek. Raises interesting issues about that whole mitzvah. Meaning, if you're unsuccessful, you end up causing yourself enemies when you try to wipe out a people. And we assume, I think, that it's clear to us that there's no way that the people involved would ever learn their lesson. Meaning, again, that Amalek, again, I say this because I say this as often as I can, the business to wipe out Amalek is only, at worst, for those Amalek who are unwilling to convert to Judaism. But those members of Amalek willing to convert to Judaism, that's all Rishonim agree that that's okay. The Rambam even thinks that as long as a member of Amalek is willing to abandon idol worship and the other seven mitzvot, meaning willing to agree to keep the seven mitzvot, and willing to pay a physical and financial tribute to the Jewish people, then he also is allowed to live. So we say to ourselves, yeah, but that's not reasonable, that's not reasonable. So that's a question of reasonableness that's always worth testing ourselves on. Kadosh Baruch Hu said this is the way the world should work. God said this is the way the world has to work. Said, this is what Amalek gets for having played the role they played in history. and they have to live with it. So as we watch Hadad insist on leaving a cushy time, meaning he didn't have to take revenge against Shlomo, he could have just let it slide. He was comfortable, he could have just built for himself. So this urge suggests that the need to wipe out Amalek is in fact something stronger than just, is not stronger, that the need is stronger because being born that way and being raised in that environment leaves you a kind of a person who is going to have to insist on revenge and insist on continuing to try to destroy the Jewish people. So then Pasuk Kof Gimel tells us what more problems Shlomo had. Ma'akam Elokim lo satan et rizom ben el yada, Hashem barach meit had ad ezer melech tova adonav, who ran away from his own master in tova. Ma'ikbot salav anashim, and he gathers a band around him. Ma'isak gedud barog David Otam, and he was sort of a troop leader. Then David came along and slew them. Ma'ichud Damascus, so they ran away to Damascus. Ma'yeshuva even look over Damascus, and they took over in Damascus, which is generally Damascus. So he becomes a problem for the Jewish people all the days of Shlomo, and that was in addition to what Hadad does, and Hadad becomes the king of Aram, and he becomes a continuing problem for Shlomo. So we see that the foreign policy security that characterized Shlomo HaMelech's kingdom, at least in the early times, was not sustained. And the reason that the Navi gives for it not being sustained was the fact of Shlomo's having failed to maintain his fidelity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now the worst part of all, Pasuk Vav, the Yeravam ben Nevat Ephratim min Hatzireda, V'shem Lo Tziru'a Yishal Mana, Eved Shlomo, V'yarem Yad Bamelech. Yeravam ben Nevat begins to rebel against Shlomo HaMelech. So Yeravam ben Nevat, we find out, is from Ephraim, from the tribe of Ephraim, but his mother was a widow, so Nevat had died, and she was a slave to Shlomo, and now we're going to hear the Habad's rebellion. V'zad Amar Shem Yad Pamelech, Shlomo banat the Milo. We mentioned before that Shlomo built the Milo, which Rashi at least thinks means that he filled in certain parts of the walls of Yerushalayim that were open. Sagaret Peretz Ir David David. He closed up, that's what we said a second ago, he closed up the gaps in Ir David David. Vayish Yeravam Gibor Chayil. Yeravam was a powerful man. Now he was the son of this widow who was a slave to Shlomo. Vayar Shlomo at Anar, Kiyosei Malachahu at Shlomo. He caught Shlomo's eye as a boy, that he was somebody capable and skilled and talented at doing work. So he made him rule over the tribes of Yosef, meaning Menashe and Ephraim, to make sure that their work went well. So, what's the rebellion? The rebellion is that Yeravam rebukes Shlomo. This is the way Chazal understand it. Rebukes Shlomo for having built in the Milo. Chazal understood that he built in the Milo for the sake of, as we noted when it came up, for the sake of building Bat Parah her house. And that Yeravam was offended by this because it meant that access to Yerushalayim was going to be more limited than it had been until now. And he says publicly to Shlomo HaMelech, your father David tried to increase access for everybody. He tried to increase the access of the people to being able to get into Yerushalayim, being able to get into Ir David, being able to come to the holy places of the Jewish people. And you are limiting that access, and you're doing it in the name of your foreign wife. So Chazal like that. Now, the Radak seems to think that this, none of this happened until after the incident we're about to see in Pasuk Chaf Tet, but Rashi seems to think that it's the other way around, that it's because Yeravam had shown his willingness to speak up when he saw something wrong, that was what led him to have the right to be the person who will be the focus of the prophecy in Pasuk Chaf Tet, Vayi Ba'itahi, around this time, V'yiravam Yatzam Yerushalayim, he left Jerusalem, Vayimtza Uto, Achiyah Shiloni HaNavi. Achiyah is from Shiloh, and he is a Navi, who will figure in later parts of Malachim as well. So he meets Yeravam Baderech, V'hu Mitkaseh B'Salmah Chadasha, U'Shneem Levadam Basadeh, and he's wearing new clothing. He's wearing new clothing. I believe that is Achiyah. Hold on one second. It's actually a matter of debate in Chazal and in the Radak. It says it's not clear in the Pasuk as to who's wearing the new garments. One of them is wearing new garments, and they're alone in the field. So Pasuk Lamed Vayit Pos Achia Basalma Hachanasha Sheralav Vayikra Shnei Masar Kreim. He tears the garment into 12 pieces. I don't know how you tear garments like this. Clothing, the cloth we make is very hard to tear, but he tears it into 12 pieces. Maybe off the seams, I guess. Vayomer LeYeravam Kach Lecha Sarak Kreim. He tells Yeravam, take 10. I'm going to give you 10 tribes. One tribe, meaning Yehuda and Binyamin, will be for him. Because of David, and for the sake of Jerusalem. So when Achiah is telling Yeravam this, just to follow it, it's making clear that Yerushalayim is still an important city to Hashem, and this is coming from Hashem. So why is it happening? Pasuk Lamed Gimel Vayyan Asher Azavuni Vayishtachavu LaAshtored Elohei Atzidonin Lichmo Shel Hem Oav LeMilkom Elohei Vnei Amon Lochu V'Drachai LaAsot Yeshem Einai V'Chukotayim V'Shpatayim Ki David Aviv. And it's all happening because of the worshiping that's going on, the idol worshiping that's going on, the not doing what God wants that's going on, the not following like David HaMelech did. Pasuk Lamed Dalet V'Lo Akach Kol Mavlacham Yado Ki Nasi Ashitenu Kol Yemei Chayav Lamed David Avdi Asher Bacharti Oto. And I'm not going to take it from him. He'll be the highest ruler all the days of his life, because for the sake of David, my servant, Asher Shamar Mitzvotai V'Chukotai, who really kept all of the mitzvot. Melakatim L'chami Abino, I'll do it with his son. Udetatiha Lecha, Eitasar Adashvatim, and I'll give you 10 tribes. Really, no attention. Melakat, L'manayot, Nir L'David Avdi, Kol Yamim, I repeat, his son will get one tribe, so that there is a leftover for David all the days, Sham, to put my name there. I'm going to take you, and you will rule in whatever you want. You will be the king over the Jewish people, over Israel, the northern kingdom. He'll get the same warning that Shlomo HaMelech got and failed at, and he's seeing the failure now, and then we'll see what he does with it. If you listen to all that I command you, if you do all that I tell you to keep my laws and my statutes, as David my servant did, I will be with you. I will build you a permanent household as I built for David, and I will give you Israel. Chazal assume, or the Rambam at least assume, that this was telling him it can't be that he's going to be the king forever, because we know that the belief that Mashiach would come is part of the Jewish people, that David would be the ruler, right? And the psukim in Breishit that say, Leyaser Shevet Yehuda. So what was he promising here? So the assumption in the Rambam is that he's promising that if he does it right, he will have a permanent role as a governor of a province, he and his descendants. So that he's being promised permanent rule, permanent power, permanent authority, if he only does it right. Va'aneh pasuk lamed ten, va'aneh et zera David lema'an zot, ach lo kol hayamim. And I will punish and afflict David's descendants, but not all the days. So pasuk mem vayivakesh lamo lamed et Yeravam. So Lamo wants to kill Yeravam, not apparently for the nevuah of Achiah that's just happened, but for the rebellion that happened before that, is what I think the easiest way to understand it. Meaning, Yeravam had publicly rebuked him. And by the way, that public rebuke is what Chazal understood as being the reason that he didn't succeed, that Yeravam didn't succeed. Chazal and Sanhedrin say, Rav Yochanan says, "Why did he get the Yeravam Malchut? Because he was Chochich Shlomo. And why was he punished? Because he was Mochicho Birabim, because he did it publicly. So in Yeravam we see positive qualities, the objection and the willingness to object to Shlomo's wrongs, and then we see problems that he does it in public, and then he does it a little perhaps too happily. So Shlomo is looking to kill Yeravam. Vayakar Yeravam, Vayivrach Mitzrayim al-Shishak Melech Mitzrayim, he runs away to Mitzrayim to Shishak, Vayivitzrayim al-Mot Shlomo. And he's in Egypt until Shlomo dies, he hides there, because he knows he's not going to have success. He's not going to have success until Shlomo dies, because that's what Achiah had told him. Therefore, he runs away. This Shishak, the Radak points out, is not Shlomo's father-in-law. It was Shlomo's father-in-law had died by now, and somebody else had become king who was not such a lover of Shlomo. It's not clear whether that was a brother-in-law of his. if the kingdom went as general, then when Paro dies, Shishak would be a son of Paro, of this Paro's, therefore would be a brother-in-law of Shlomo. Whoever it was somebody who was not as well disposed towards Shlomo at all. Pasuk Mem Aleph, V'yetim Divrei Shlomo, V'chol Asher Asav V'chokhmato, Halavim Tuvim Asevi Divrei Shlomo. So the rest of what Shlomo did is written in the book of Divrei Shlomo. Now the rest of Malachim, whenever we want to finish up somebody's life, we'll always say, Sevi Divrei Hayamim L'Malchei Yehuda, or Sevi Divrei Hayamim L'Malchei Yisrael, the book of history of the kings of Judah, the book of history of the kings of the northern kingdom of Israel. And here it seems like there's a whole separate book for Divrei Shlomo, reminding us, as I've pointed out, that Malachim is not trying or attempting or claiming to be a history book. It is attempting to, and is claiming to, portray certain vital and important events in the life cycle of the Jewish people, and that's all that it's claiming to do. And so therefore, at the end of each king's reign, it stops and it tells us, if you want to find out the story behind this king, you can look in the history book. For 40 years, Shlomo ruled over all of the Jewish people in Yerushalayim. Shlomo passes away. The end of his life, a legacy that doesn't overshadow the rest of his life, but certainly puts it into slightly different lights. So Shlomo has by the end, a mixed kingdom, but he does die in peace. He dies, as we said, Vayishkav Shlomo im avotav. So if Rashi was right, that indicates that he leaves behind the son to fill his place, so he's buried near David, and Rechavam, we're being told, was at least theoretically a good and proper continuer of Shlomo HaMelech's legacy. What Rechavam will do, we'll see tomorrow in Perek Yud Bet. Have a great day.